You're listening to this podcast. It means you're ready, no, more than ready, to have a major breakthrough in your business. You're hungry for change and you're hungry for growth. That's why you're feeding your mind right now with all of this valuable information. But to drive those changes, to be really smart about what you're doing and to make the right choices, before you take action, you need help from someone who's been there. Someone to coach you through it. Even just someone to help you look at your business differently. That's what a mastermind group is designed to do. Work with other high-achieving restaurant professionals to grow your business exponentially. Donald Burns, the restaurant coach, is offering a free one-on-one business strategy session for listeners of this podcast. That's right, a one-on-one session with the restaurant coach himself, a $500 value, completely free, no strings attached. Just go to restaurantmasterminds.com to apply today.
Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. This is episode number 24, and I'm honored to be back again at Casa Taco in Albuquerque, talking with the owner, James. And this segment was from, again, my Facebook Live show on Monday evenings. Tonight, we're going to talk about hiring and the double-edged sword of online reviews. Let's get to it. Hey, everybody. Live here, Donald Burns, Restaurant Coach, live at Casa Taco again.
Again.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico. Which location are we at?
Coors and Central.
Coors and Central. We have two locations here.
Two. One on Academy, about two blocks east of San Mateo, and this one on Coors and Central, our newest location.
Coors and Central.
Just opened a week ago.
We apologize for the delay. We had some Wi-Fi issues. We couldn't figure out the passcode. Couldn't figure out the Wi-Fi code, even though James set up the Wi-Fi code. So it's all right. Those things happen, right?
You know, thank God I don't remember passwords.
I know.
I'd be in big trouble.
But your password is original, I have to say that. We won't say what it is. We don't want to give away all the secrets to the bank, but, you know.
Well, at least it's not password.
I know. Or
slightly more original than that.
What's the number one passwords, mostly? It's either birthdays, anniversaries.
Something of that nature.
Or something around a deity, like, well, yeah. I am, you know.
Most people just use password as password.
Yeah, or the 123.
Or, yeah, 123.
Password 123.
Right.
And we wonder why people get hacked. Yeah.
Number one hack. Hi, I'm calling from Microsoft. Can you get in front of your computer and click this link to let me in and fix it for you? Yeah.
That's the new one.
That happens to me like once every few
months. I've heard that one, actually. You know what they used to be is, they used to call them toner pirates. Back in the 90s.
Hey, what kind of printer do you have?
Hey, what kind of printer? Oh, I'm calling to get the number for the toner from your printer.
Next
thing you know, you got a pallet of toner showed up at your office. You're like, what? Same thing.
Yep.
So, what's been happening? You've been open here now how long?
Well, one week officially.
1 week officially.
Doing lunches and
lunch
dinner.
And dinner.
It was good.
It's good.
I mean, we learned a lot this week.
I think learning is important.
Well, we changed our flow twice. We went like, you know, north to south. You know, food goes this way.
Right.
And now it's the other way.
Now you flow the other way.
Right. So, but initially we set it up how we're doing it now. But, you know, we were a little worried because, we weren't really expecting to do the volume right off the bat. You know,
right.
We did. So we're like, holy smokes, we got to go the other way.
So that's where you have to be flexible in your opening.
Yeah, and, flexible and quick.
And adaptable, yes.
Yeah.
I think adaptability is probably one of the traits that really successful restaurants understand. You got to be adaptable. You can't be too stuck in your way.
No, that's true. And you have to be, you have to be able to do it quickly.
I mean, we were talking on the phone today, you and I were talking about the menu and about how you actually even notice like some of the changes, like some stuff we just assume people will understand.
Well, yeah.
About the menus.
I know.
When they come in, you just think, it's
a huge challenge.
You should know that.
Because our menu's not exactly small.
Right.
And our last menu, after you and I had talked about it, like,
right.
100 times.
After we had the debate.
And really what it came down to is, like, I totally agreed that the menu needed to be downsized.
Streamlined.
Yeah. Streamlined. Yeah. I mean, and the whole thing was, like, yes, let's get rid of the dogs. But, you know, we even took a more aesthetic approach. You know, we got rid of, like, your suggestions were get rid of all the commas, periods, and overly verbose descriptions. So,
yeah, well, people, like, don't really read menus anymore.
Well, you'd think. Well,
especially on menu boards.
But here's the funny thing. So here's what we're noticing now.
But they need to have some information.
Right. So I think we went too far.
We
simplified a little too much. We went from a Bible to shorthand.
Shorthand. And then not everyone reads shorthand.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, for example, the brisket and green chili burrito. It says brisket and green chili. But it's assumed that we have, you know, brisket, green chili. Obviously, cheese comes in the burrito. You know, right. we always put cheese and potatoes in all of our burritos, and it comes with, you know, rice and beans as, mm-hmm. as a plate. And then you have the option of smothering it or whatever. But, you know, three or four people have walked in and said, well, you know, it doesn't say potatoes. It doesn't say cheese. You know, why would I assume that you're putting potatoes and cheese in there? And I guess they're right. So
why would you assume?
It's a burrito. It's a burrito.
You think there is some starch.
Does anybody on this planet serve a burrito with only ground beef? That's my question. What's in the burrito? It says ground beef burrito, but there's no description, for example. Would you assume that it's only ground beef, or would you make a safe assumption that there are probably other ingredients like cheese or chili? Or
I would assume that, but then again, you know how they say about assuming.
Right. So
yeah, sometimes you can go too far
and we did.
One direction or the other.
So we're going back to fix some of those things.
A couple things, but I think overall, I think
it works.
This menu was really, I think, flows easy. When you walk up, it's easy to read.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big fan of, like, lots of busy menus. I'm not a lot of fan of too much stuff. I like to be able to.
Yeah, we really wanted to kind of stick with, we really wanted the descriptions on there in our last menu, and it's a little wordy, and I do agree that it's like, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't need to say roasted green chili, you know, seasoned with, you know, we were way...
Handpicked by Vestal Virgins, right. Green chili.
Exactly.
So you can get too far.
And it was. And now I think now we went too far back the other way. So
we're
somewhere
down and back.
Happy medium.
Dialing it back a little bit. Yeah. But that's what it's about. It's about adaptability.
I did notice another thing, too. We found out that, that you can't let a POS system control your menu either. It's like,
ooh.
So you put in a lot of buttons for... Okay, because... You have cashiers, you know, almost all of our cashiers are brand new.
Right.
So you try to build in all of these options so that the cashier doesn't have to spell everything out in a 15-character message and use 8 million modifiers to get across that the person doesn't want one thing. So I put in all these extra buttons, like, under our main category, tacos. So now, because my cashiers and I have not had, like, the menu training conversation in great depth, you know, we went over it briefly. So now the cashier allows the POS system to dictate the menu. So they're saying to the customer, okay, so do you want one, two, or three? It's like, no. They automatically come in a certain number, and you just have to say, okay, great, I got, you know, brisket tacos.
We got to do menu training.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. We kind of opened up thinking that we could allow the POS system to sort of guide them. But there's too many options in there. We have to leave the options but follow up with some great training. And I think what we're going to do is just like a half a day, like a menu class, you know, with all the staff so everybody kind of understands. I mean, the cooks get it.
Remind me, I have a template for, like, menu notes.
Yeah. So
I'll give it to you.
That's a good idea.
So you can outline the menu notes.
Yeah.
And then it's good to teach off of. But menu notes are important. You got to have menu notes, and you got to train your team.
Right.
Let's talk about staffing real quick. So have you noticed? I mean, now you got two locations.
Yes.
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Right.
What have you noticed about the labor market, labor pool?
Well, I wish our Elephant Butte location was closer, because that's our third location, but we can't ever share employees because they're 2 hours away.
So 2 hours away, yeah.
So here, the nice thing is we get to share.
That's nice.
A little bit.
You got to watch OT, though.
Right, and because it's the same company, the overtime applies, so you can't have them work, you know, 30 hours there, 30 hours here, and go, yay, no overtime. No, you got to pay the overtime. So
that's a lot of overtime.
Yeah, and it has been. And we're borrowing you know, two or three employees on any given week, you know, three or four shifts to kind of fill in here, because, you know, you start out hiring, you overhire. And so we overhired, and then you kind of figure out who's going to work out, who doesn't, who maybe overstated their capabilities or you know, understated their availability.
Resumes are always interesting.
Yeah, and you get a lot of guys that are like, okay, yeah, I'm in school, but I really want to work. And then, you know, their first week of school starts, and then, you know, we had just opened up when most people were starting school, so we ended up with that situation where it's like, man, I'm sorry, I really thought I could handle school and work, and I just can't. You know, I got too many things going on at school. It's I can only work two shifts. I'm like, oh, no.
Right.
But, you know, we always try to put our employees' needs. I mean, yes, it is a business, and, you know, our intention is to hire great people and then, you know, treat them well so we have longevity. Well, I mean, it used to be that we looked for experience.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst thing.
Yeah, and now I find that, you know, what we're finding is that now we look for people that were trained by other restaurants that have excellent training programs. I'm not going to, can I say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, we love Chick-fil-A people because they're really, Chick-fil-A, they train the people. And Deon's trains their staff really well.
Right.
So when we get people from Chick-fil-A or Deon's, we find that we don't have to train on a lot of the basic stuff.
Right. Like the hospitality stuff.
Yeah, you know, customer service.
I think
Deon's has great customer service.
I usually recommend like 49-51%.
Yeah.
49% hard skills, 51% soft skills.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if someone's not naturally a happy person or naturally smiles, it's hard to teach them to smile.
Yeah.
I mean, you can walk by the cash register all the time, smile, 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 but if they're just not a smiling person, you know, that's
No, and trying to get somebody to smile when they answer the phone, because they teach that, you know.
Hey, Matthew. Hey, Rodney. Hey, Chef Kim.
Are they all here?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of them are on.
Oh, yeah. I never look at that.
You never look at that?
I'm always looking at you on the camera. So, yeah, I kind of agree, and I think that, you know, like, you can train people how to answer a phone, but it's really hard to train people to smile when they're answering the phone, because it's not a natural occurrence.
Exactly.
But it sure does sound better when you're smiling when you answer a phone.
Sounds a lot better. It's in your voice. I mean, one of the things I'm a big believer in is using behavioral assessments. I'm huge on that, especially for management. Because I think most of the time, you know, especially most restaurants, especially in management, we hire for skills and experience. But then when they end up firing somebody, it's always because of behavior.
Yeah.
So if you knew ahead of time what their behavior was and what you kind of expect and where you're going to have some challenges at, you can head off a lot of that.
That seems pretty much across the board, not just management.
Everywhere.
Because I think everybody that, at least so far, you know, we've had the one or two exceptions where school schedule didn't work out, but most of the problems that we've had are really behavioral issues. Like,
how about bringing back old employees?
50-50.
50-50?
So far, 50-50. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Has anyone out there had experience with bringing back past employees? Are you up or down, thumbs up? What's your percent of success with bringing back old employees, employees that were either terminated, or I'm going to say terminated.
Well, so there's gently released, and then there's...
Yeah. Bad day? Yeah. Bad day? You had a bad day? My favorite thing is like to say somebody drop a house on your sister.
Yeah. Reminds me of a funny joke.
Go ahead.
What did the guy say? What did the guy from Espanola say when three houses fell on top of him?
What?
Get off me, Holmes.
You gotta understand Espanola.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a beautiful town in New Mexico.
Somebody like that.
Matthew said he's got a 25% for the worse on returning employees. 25% for the worse. You're doing 50-50.
50-50.
It's not...
Could be worse. But, you know,
flip a coin.
Remains to be seen. You know, we just...
Flip a coin,
we just
right?
hired a couple back. So yeah. We hired one on Academy, and we hired two over here. So far, it was one and one. The one didn't work out. One did, and then
because there was one last time I was here.
Right, she's gone already.
And as soon as I had, hey, what happened to so and so?
Yeah, she's gone. Too bad. I had my hopes were in the positive that would have worked out. Just didn't work out.
My philosophy has always been slow to hire, quick to fire.
Yeah,
you know,
we're kind of the reverse.
You're fast to hire, fast to fire.
Kind of, yeah.
Or
we're fast to hire and
slow to fire. Oh, you gotta be fast to fire.
You know, you always
get rid of them.
Make sure, like, okay, like, am I just is my perception off? Is this person just, you know?
I always assume, number one, if they're not performing, maybe I did something. As a leader, it's my responsibility to own
right.
it.
I blame myself first.
Blame myself. Did I give them the proper training? Right. Proper direction. I set expectations. Did I set the standards? Am I being the example of all those things? Now, if I do those things.
Right.
Then.
But still, even then, it's like, you know, you want to have like a couple of conversations about, you know, we did go over this, right? I did tell you these things.
I got good news. I got bad news for you. That's what I thought.
That's just the third conversation. And we limit it to three.
I got bad news.
Yeah.
And there's a college kids returning. We get some college kids here. You know, UNM, you get a lot of UNM, right?
Come to San Antonio, Battalion. Is that her restaurant?
Battalion, I guess.
Yeah,
cool. Battalion, Chef Kim. San Antonio. Shout out from Chef Kim in San Antonio, Texas. Wham. Bam, wham, bam.
So
when you're looking for employees, where do you find, like, you get the best results?
Can we mention names of...
Yeah.
Okay. So we tried Indeed. Everybody we have ever hired from Indeed, complete failure, 100% failure.
100% rate. Crash and burn.
Crash and burn.
Crash and burn.
And really, I think it's... I think people go to Indeed.com with a higher expectation of outcome.
What do you mean outcome?
I think they want, like, you know...
They think that they're the shit?
Yeah, well, yeah. I think they think they're going to come into a...
And they're going to start high-end?
A taco place and make $20 an hour, and we just don't pay that, you know? Or they believe that they're going to walk into this with a management position because they have some experience under their belt, and we just don't do that. You know, we kind of treat everybody sort of the same when they walk
in. I love when they walk in and they want to be the chef.
Well, it's that, and they come in and before the conversation about pay comes up, they're like, well, what are the benefits? You know, what are the, you know, do we get insurance? I'm like, yeah, well, no.
No. There's a couple restaurants. There's some restaurants.
I wish we made enough, and I wish we were big enough that we could offer.
I think when you get to another location, you'll be able to.
Here are the benefits of working at Casa Taco. We're a great company to work for. We're very, very good to our staff. We offer a free meal with every shift worked. And you get plenty of overtime. There's our benefits.
But Matthew says that my owners use Craigslist.
Yeah. And I do the Craigslist, but, you know, it's like $15 a pop every, you know, 15 days or so, which is not horrible. But
in the big markets,
I get good responses. Yeah. You know what? I get really good responses off of, you know, Donald, you helped me reword that ad. You know, like Taco Ninja, we use Taco Ninja.
Reworking the ad is important.
Yeah, and on Craigslist, it really makes a difference, especially if you put a quick URL in that link that they can click and fill out a five questionnaire online application. That's where we got everybody for this place. Almost everybody that we hired here was off of Craigslist that we sent that little URL. They filled out a five question questionnaire. You know,
that's awesome. Like, pre-screen
name, what's
them.
What's your number? What's your email? Where have you worked? How long did you work there?
Pre-screen.
Yeah,
pre-screen. That's awesome.
So putting a URL
is awesome. Yeah. If you want to know how to set up a URL, James will. Yeah. You can hire James.
You ask me, and then I'll send him to the person that did it for me.
Send him to the person for me. There you go. We'll do some referral work here.
We use a WordPress website, so, you know, it was really easy for her to set up.
Plugins are easy.
Yeah, so she set up a plugin on the back end that was just a quick, you know, do you want to apply for a job? Yes. Answer these five questions. Hit send. And then when
That's
we have
them,
they fill out a regular application, their paperwork.
But using words like we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, talking about hiring taco ninjas
or taco wranglers. That was a good one, too.
That was a good one, too, because most people, when they write job ads, they're boring as shit. I mean, let's be honest.
We are now in search of
looking for people to work nights and weekends. Must be able to lift 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Must be flexible. Must have reliable transportation.
That all kind of went out the door with... I mean, people that still do that, they probably still get some, you know, some responses. But, like, the whole, like, you know, this year they call it millennials. The year before they called them, I don't know, they called them Gen Xers. I don't even remember. The terminology's changed from year to year. But it's the same thing.
We're baby boomers. We're old.
I think the hiring pool changes annually.
It always changes.
You know, and they're looking for more and more, and they want to be engaged, and they want to be interested in what they do. It's not just, hey, I need a job.
And you have to use words.
Sometimes it is, hey, I need a job.
Some do.
Sometimes it's, hey, you know, we're hiring. We were looking for great people. This is a really cool place. And
my mom says I can't sit around and play games all day.
Right.
I got to do something.
Yeah. I think engagement is like really, really big this year.
Engagement's huge.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the new buzzword, I think, when you're hiring people is they want to be, they really do want to be engaged right. about.
Well, you heard about, like, I think the last couple of years, the big thing has been talking about, you know, CX, the customer experience. Yes. Now it's EX, the employee experience,
exactly.
which is huge.
It is ridiculously huge. And yeah. I think it's all, honestly, it's always been big, but I don't think a lot of people focus
no,
on that.
Nobody focused on it. Yeah. Like, I have a client in Iceland, and they just built, like, a little nice little employee break room with a sofa, and then the guy's a real avid reader. He brought a bunch of his books from home and has a library. In his like little staff room that people can nice. Use and check out.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's really well. He wanted to like encourage a kind of a learning culture, yeah. not just a training culture. So that's part of his values and part of his core values. So he set up this whole little library. So shout out to Pallet in Iceland, to Palmer and David. Great job on that, by the way. You know, but setting up that kind of learning environment,
yeah.
and you know, giving them passing along or sharing like blog posts. Hint, hint. You know, podcast episodes, stuff like that, especially for the people that want to learn. And it's like, now is everybody going to do it? No, not everyone wants to do it because not everyone's into that thing. Yeah. But if you get a couple people, then that starts spreading that culture and they want to learn, they want to develop, they want to grow. And millennials, man, they definitely need
well,
more
it's
stuff.
Millennials and it's the food culture has dramatically changed landscapes also. And
I get them a book.
So many people.
I know it's backwards.
So many people are really truly interested in the, you know, the Food Network did wonders for our
Food Network.
I mean, do you not dig the Food Network?
No, I think it killed our industry.
See, I don't know. I think it made more people really interested in like that whole how things are made, and then
it was a double-edged sword. I think the food TV shows were great about giving awareness, and like some of the travel channels about, you know, new cultures and new food and new ingredients right. were great about that. But I also think they also set a lot of unrealistic expectations for kids coming into the industry that think that I'm going to go in, I'm going to be the chef, I'm going to get a TV show, I'm going to make $1 million, I'm going to be like the next, you know, Bobby Flay, whatever. And yeah. that's not reality.
Sometimes, yeah, I think it's unrealistic you know? expectations. Matthew says, I'm sorry, you do dishes.
What?
I hate dishes. Actually, dishes are like a mindless task that I wish I could do more often, truthfully. But,
oh, I used to like
but I don't like having to do them all the time.
Oh, I don't want to do them all the time.
Drag.
I like doing dishes, though.
But, yeah, I think I think the Food Network was a good influence because it made people more interested in, like, what is this, you know, what makes your food so different? Like, why is this different than that? Why, you know, the questions are better.
I think it was great on that sense.
Yeah. And but from a scientific
unrealistic
scientific
expectations.
Approach.
And then the shows, okay, I'm going to like, people are going to get pissed about this, but shows like Cutthroat Kitchen.
See, those I don't like.
I hate those shows. You know what they do? What are they teaching us? It's, you know, let's get on a show and let's fuck someone over. You know?
Right, yeah.
You know, to win a game.
Yeah.
That's not how you build teamwork. That's not how restaurants, that's not how culinary teams are really supposed to work. You're not supposed to screw someone else over
to
get ahead.
Food competitions, you know, with the exception of like, you know, when it used to be like that, like the Olympic culinary teams. With the exception of that, like food competitions and the hardcore reality.
Those ones are.
I don't like them because I think food, when you put food in a competitive environment, it seems like it takes away the love and the passion for what right. you're doing. And you're just jamming something out to try to beat somebody else. And I don't know. It seems like you lose the love in the process.
Yeah.
Just me.
But you got to jump in there. I think experience is the best teacher.
Like,
when
see,
did you start?
See,
now?
Kim. She's. See, I did too. I started my first job at 14, and like, I never really had.
I know they didn't have child labor laws back when you were a kid.
I forged my own birth certificate.
Did you really
work in the restaurant business? Yeah,
I was 15.
Yeah,
and I asked my dad if I could work for him. He said no.
Yeah,
he told me no, I wasn't ready. So he got me a job at a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Ever tell you that story?
No.
Oh, so he got me a job at this Chinese restaurant, and I was like washing dishes there for like 6 months, and then one night these guys were like yelling at each other. You know, really, you know, I think the only girl, there was a girl I worked, was in my high school who spoke English. Everyone was basically, I mean, from China, and they were like yelling in Chinese, and I walked around the corner, and these two guys were like yelling and pointing at this big, huge rat in the middle of the floor. Oh, it must have eaten some poison. It was like walking really slow, and the one cook went over with his cleaver, Chinese cleaver, whacked its head off right there.
Awesome.
And then I just like totally like.
Did they cook it?
I don't know. I was like freaked out after that. But I went home that night and I told my dad, I said, because I came in, I guess he must have seen, like, I had this look on my face. And he goes, what happened? And I told him the story and he goes, you ready to come cook for me? And I'm like, now looking back, I wasn't sure that, I thought that was a good thing. But now looking back, I'm like, oh, that was probably a good idea. But I had to go see the head cut off of a large rodent to be able to go work for my dad.
That's pretty awesome.
But then I started working in the dish tank for my dad, and I worked up in prep now. Back then it was a big hotel kitchen, and so they had a big brigade and start peeling vegetables.
Yep.
I can tornay a mushroom
like a madman.
Like a madman. I'd work my way up, I'd piss him off, be back tornaying vegetables.
Yeah.
Tornay the shit out of stuff.
Crazy.
Crazy fast. But not anymore.
So
Matthew was a combat field medic. Woohoo! Blew out his knees. I was in pararescue. I was a combat medic in pararescue. Jumped out of plenty of planes to do some combat medic shit.
You didn't cook?
And I didn't cook in the military.
Yeah.
No. Well, when I was 18, my dad told me it was in my blood, and I said I wanted a transfusion. I wanted out. I don't want to do this. So, went in the Air Force. So, Indeed, bust.
Yeah, Indeed, no good.
Craigslist, okay.
Craigslist works really well.
You ever do a referral program?
You know, we do. You know, we encourage.
Do you do the one I talked about, the 25-25?
Yeah, we did.
25-25-50?
Yeah, and we did that, and it. You know what? It's hard to keep track of, honestly. It's just like one more thing I got to... So
here's a referral program
it did
I recommend.
Work, but I think,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So I call it the 25-25-50. So what you do is if someone refers someone and you interview them and you successfully have a successful interview and you hire them, the person gets 25. If they stay 90 days, which is usually kind of that line in the sand, 90 days they'll make it or not, then they get another 25. And if they make it 6 months, you give them $50 for the referral.
Yeah,
I call it the 25-25-50. And for management, a lot of times I double it. So yeah. I make it 50-50-100. If someone refers a manager.
Yeah, it's super hard to keep track of.
Hard to keep track of. Oh, it's just a spreadsheet.
Yeah, spreadsheet.
Dude, you got spreadsheets all over the place. Calendars, man.
Reminder.
All right,
iPhone.
Let's get into that that gray zone that we like to talk about. Let's talk about online reviews. Ooh. This is like painful sometimes.
It is.
You love them.
I'm not a big fan of them.
You love them, but then you hate them.
Yeah. This is why I have...
Panic attacks.
Well, that, and this is why I have somebody else do all of my online responses.
Right. Jennifer is awesome.
Yeah, she's great. I can't stay on top of it. There's no way.
No.
And she sort of filters out. I mean, you know, it's kind of like you never really want to hear bad news. So I assume all is good. And then when I get the email, like, uh-oh.
Well, you take them personally.
Yeah. I mean, it really does. It cuts deep and fast.
So James will sometimes send me his reply. And
The
first draft is never good. It's very colorful, let me put it that way. Very, very colorful. His first draft he sends me is always colorful. A lot of F-bombs and the creative use of... Yeah, you're a very creative writer. I never told you that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, some of the things you come up with, I'm just like, wow. Those
yeah,
are good.
But don't say that.
No. Those are like really good. Those are creative.
Well, I guess what really irks me about the online review is that, you know, you've got a 19-year-old, you know, nothing against people.
Okay.
But this 19-year-old kid.
Remember that one kid?
12-paragraph, the kid with the tuxedo
the
shirt.
The tuxedo shirt, yeah. This kid who thinks he's a food
review,
critic.
Right, about my restaurant. And, I mean, I couldn't even, I, there's no way.
It was like
here's
the,
what I wanted to say. I want to say, okay, dude, tell me where you work. Let me come to your work.
And let me critique
you. Let me
you.
See what you do.
Let me critique
and
you
let
there.
Let me give you a critique about
That's
what
fair
you
enough.
Do at your job. Because fair is fair.
I think you worked at a tire shop.
I think we researched
him. He was in San Diego or something like that, and he worked at a tire shop, I think.
I don't even recall.
But I know his profile picture was him in a tuxedo T-shirt.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was like 19.
Yeah.
probably ate in 15 restaurants his whole life.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I mean, yeah. I, you know.
I love feedback, you know, and you do too. And a lot of times when we do get some online reviews, they are really good comments that help us really improve the concept.
I agree.
And improve service.
Some of it I totally agree that, you
know. What was the one we had the other day about sour cream? We don't even have sour cream.
Well, yeah,
don't even have sour cream in the restaurant.
It was
really.
Totally fake.
Like, it was totally fake.
Like he totally went down that road of like, thank you for, you know, this crappy food you served me and all the sour cream, and I'm like,
sour cream?
You got the wrong restaurant,
dude. You got the wrong place. Yeah, we don't even put sour cream on our stuff.
And if he did get a side of sour cream that we so happen to have because we do carry it and like down in the Butte they carry it.
Yeah.
And I think we carry it at Academy, too. But it's, you know, we carry it as sides for people that want
for sides.
A quesadilla with a side of sour cream. But we don't put it on anything.
It's not served with anything.
Right. So there's no way.
So if you got sour cream, you asked for sour cream.
Right, exactly. And if you got a ton of it, certainly you ordered
you
it
asked for
yourself.
You asked for a ton of sour cream.
So
that's on you.
The thing that really gets me the most is there used to be this standard operating procedure of, I walk into a restaurant, I have a maybe less than perfect experience, mm-hmm. and I think it's important that maybe the manager know that my food took a little too long. I found a piece of Brillo pad or stainless steel scrubby in my whatever. You know how that happens in French fries or whatever. They get caught in the fry basket.
Right.
Weird stuff like that. Or, you know, the old
hair
in the food, rubber band in the salsa from the cilantro.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. So it used to be that, you know, you call your cashier or somebody.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen in food? Anybody out there? The weirdest thing you've ever seen in food?
As a mistake.
Yeah. I had someone one time said that they found a tooth.
No way.
Yes.
That's disgusting.
It wasn't.
It was their own tooth, probably.
It was their own tooth. It was not from.
So where I'm going with that.
Don't you like it when they have the hair? Yeah. Oh, I found a hair in my food. And it's like a blonde hair. And it's like, no one on your team has blonde hair.
Or nobody like, back there is bald.
A fingertip. Ooh.
Yeah, no way. That's unreal.
Ugh.
So the point being is that it used to be, you know, if a customer had a less than perfect experience or found some, you know.
You talk to a manager.
Yeah, you talk to the manager, call somebody, hey, you know. And then the response used to be always, let me remake that for you.
Let me take care of that for you.
Right. And it all happens right here at the table. And nobody needs to go run into public and go, oh my God, I got this rubber band in my salsa. Or, you know, or I walked in there and there was a cook who only had one glove on. Or I was standing there waiting for my food and the cashier picked up her cell phone and answered it. And I'm like,
yeah. Didn't somebody one time dog us because they thought, because the cashier didn't have gloves on?
Yes. Do you really want them to handle cash?
Cash with gloves on?
And gloves? I mean, yeah.
But they're not touching
food. They're not touching food.
Yeah. Why does the cashier have to have gloves on?
Yeah.
So, yeah. If you got positive things to feedback that really help a restaurant grow, man, I love it.
You know what I really... I appreciated one I got today. And it was a Google review. And her response was, I love you guys. I love your food. I can tell you're transitioning because I went in last time and my brisket seemed a little bit dry and the salsa seemed to not have as much flavor.
Nice.
And you know what? I can react to that. And I can say, you know, I go back and talk to the guy who took over our
production
manager's position at the Academy store and say, hey, you know, we really got to make sure, as well as sticking to the recipe, there's this thing called not all things are the same, even if you follow a recipe. You have to taste it.
Yeah, you have to taste things.
It tastes the same as it did the last time. And if you notice any bit of difference, you have to adjust in the field to make sure it tastes the same.
Yeah.
Same level of heat, same balance of acidity or sweetness or whatever it is. You know, like our creamy salsa, the tomatillo, roasted jalapeno avocado, you know, sometimes the jalapenos are not always as hot. So if they're not.
Or sometimes the jalapenos are really hot.
Right. So you have to adjust in the field, you know. There isn't this thing that says all jalapenos are at the same heat.
All jalapenos. We should make science. All jalapenos are not created equal.
This is true.
That is true.
So anyway.
That's true.
So that was I mean, that helped me, like, okay, I need to go step back a little bit and visit that store and see what might have happened with that. So I appreciated that review. And I haven't responded to it yet because it was just today, but right. Like, I'll send, you know, Jennifer a message to post and say, you know, thanks for that feedback.
Right. But you should really have someone respond as fast as possible, right. Too.
Or, like, here's another one that I really, like, I can appreciate, but I can't really do much about. I came in on Friday night. Your place was jam-packed. There was not a seat to be found. I waited 45 minutes for my food. Yeah, you probably did.
You probably did.
I can apologize, but I can't really change that. There's only 50 seats in the place. The kitchen is
Academy store. Here you can see the size here.
Yeah, it's huge. Right, so food takes 45 minutes here. I'm buying food.
Yeah, yeah. There's no reason for here. Right. I mean, the place is huge.
And we're still
Academy is.
Yeah, but they're, you know, they're.
But Academy fills up fast.
Yeah, they fill up fast.
What people don't see. The lobby's small.
And what people don't see is.
And you got drive through.
You know, everybody just walked in. There's, you know, 25 tickets hanging, and the guy's holding a stack of 20 tickets that all came in off phone orders.
Phone orders, too.
You know, and nobody really realizes
and
that.
You guys are digging
I'm not
out.
Out there to explain.
But no. They don't really care. You know? People don't care.
No, they don't care. Everybody wants it now, and they want it perfect every time. And it's our job to do the best we can to make that happen.
That's it. But online reviews are definitely a double-edged sword. But people out there who just...
They're different, though. I mean, have you noticed that TripAdvisor seems to be non-existent these days?
I don't know, it seems like TripAdvisor... You know?
Like they've really kind of, like, I don't even get notifications from them anymore. And then I noticed that, like, the Google reviews have quadrupled. Like, we get a ton of Google reviews.
The Google reviews have tripled?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Quadrupled.
Wow. How about Yelp?
So the Yelp, they're probably the most consistent, but they're also the most consistently negative.
Negative, too.
So I think people that want to place a negative review.
What's your favorite online review site out there? Anybody like anything? Matthew said, my restaurant I work for holds 95 total.
Yeah, we max out at 55.
Yeah.
At Academy.
Academy's small. This one, how many seats here?
It's like 135.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is...
A little bit bigger. Almost three times bigger.
Yeah. How big is Elephant Butte without the patio?
Without the patio?
Oh. Whoa. I mean, you only got the bar, right?
Well, there isn't...
You have the indoor.
It used to be indoor seating, and we had 12 seats inside.
Right. That was really... But now you have the outdoor. But your patio has it. It's enclosed, though.
Yeah, the actual building in Elephant Butte is only 775 square feet.
Damn, really?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, I didn't know it was that small.
And the patio is like 1,400 square feet. So, still not that huge.
Not that huge.
But it's, you know, so it's overall all outdoor seating.
Smaller than Academy, then.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, you're progressing.
Yeah.
Matthew says we use... We look at Yelp mostly here.
Yeah. I try not to look at Yelp mostly. I just find that
you do look at Yelp, and then you send me a message that you looked at Yelp, and I'm like, get off of Yelp. Have Jennifer look at Yelp.
It seems like people that are gunning for the negative experience are what they call the Yelpers, you know?
Yeah. There's definitely, you know what, I think just like different demographics, like, you know, some people like Facebook, some people like Instagram, some people like Twitter. I think online review sites are like that, too. You have different demographics.
Right.
I think the TripAdvisor crowd is totally different than the Google crowd and totally different than Yelp.
Yeah.
You know?
And then there was that one-off, used to be Urban Spoon.
Now Foursquare, Zomato.
Zomato.
It was Foursquare.
Now it's something else.
Now it's Swarm, I think. They keep changing.
Goodness, yeah. So I've only had one review on that site, but most commonly I find that it seems like Yelpers are the most
Facebook reviews.
Critical.
You should get a lot of Facebook reviews.
We do, but they're pretty diverse. We have, you know, I'd say we're highest... our highest rating is on Facebook. Our second highest rating is Google. And then the lowest rating we have is on Yelp, because I think people that are Yelpers, they consider themselves to be food critics.
Yes.
And so they go looking to make that review, and generally they're looking to say something negative.
They want to put in their 2 cents.
Yeah. It's that thing about, you know, everybody wants to own a restaurant, but everybody they don't really realize what it takes to run one, or... You know, they're clueless.
Well, just in general, everybody
wants to tell everybody how to do their job. Also,
everybody wants to tell everybody how to do their job.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Online reviews are definitely, I mean,
it's changed the
rest. Kind of like online delivery. Do you use Uber Eats?
We do. We use Uber.
What do you think of Uber Eats?
They take a pretty big cut. But
I think Foodable TV had a really good post on there about Uber Eats. Is it a necessary evil?
Well, I mean, there's more than Uber Eats. We're here in Albuquerque. We have Grubhub, and we have 505. which is a new local guy that's starting.
Oh, 505 is a new one?
Yeah, nice. And I'm actually we've batted a couple emails back and forth. Seems like a really nice guy, and not out there to gouge, you know, the high percentage. But you know, my only experience right now is with Uber Eats, and it seems like they have a process really ironed out. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think Grubhub came first, didn't it?
I think Grubhub's making up some ground.
Yeah, so yeah. I'd like to try them all, and then you know, kind of see which one works out best or takes the least amount percentage.
Anybody have any experiences out there with any of those online delivery services? Which one you love? Which one you hate? Which one you loathe with a passion? Oh. I don't know either.
I
know Uber Eats just takes a big chunk out of a lot of my clients have Uber Eats, and it's.
Well, you know, McDonald's uses Uber Eats, and they really push it hard.
I know McDonald's has curbside pickup now.
Really?
I saw that the other day on Twitter. You can order online, and you can pull up to McDonald's, and they'll just like bring it up to your car.
Oh, that's kind of nice. Well, we're talking about doing that here.
We thought about doing it here because you have the extra spots.
Yeah, we have extra spaces, but we have no room for a drive-through or a pickup
window. No, but we should do curbside. I have a place in Louisiana, in Gonzales, Snow's Seafood. They do a curbside pickup, and it is awesome. They are jamming.
See that cabinet behind us?
Yeah. So that's for that.
I built that cabinet as a blank box, and I bought a heat. Yeah, you can see it from there. Yeah. I bought a heat element to attach to the top, and what we were thinking is as we go down the road and we start doing more and more to-go, that's going to be the pickup area for to-go food or the curbside pickup where we take orders right to the it'll be a hot box, basically a hot box at the door.
Oh, that'd be good.
So keep the
convenience is big. People love convenience, you know?
Uber Eats, and she's trying a new app, you know? She uses Grubhub, Chef Kim does.
Okay.
And Uber Eats, but she's trying a new one out.
Yeah, I don't know which one's better, and I don't know. I'm still kind of learning about both of them. So our only experience so far is with Uber Eats, and so far it's not that bad.
Yeah, the shift this year will be convenience. People want pickup. They want curbside.
I think that happens every year.
You know?
It's always one step.
It's going further,
because now they're doing
this
with groceries.
Oh, Amazon, I know, yeah.
Yeah,
Amazon. Well, you know, the food delivery, I mean, the people that were doing like Blue Apron, like we're doing meals
and
delivered to your house.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
It's growing.
Well, they're dying, actually.
Are they?
Blue Apron's, like, crashing because people, like, order these meals, right, to cook at home, and you get this, like, fresh food, but people are so busy.
They let it sit.
They let it sit in your fridge for days, and then all of a sudden they go back to cook it, and they got rotten shit in their refrigerator.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they're calling Uber Eats.
You know? Well, it's, I mean, you know, not everybody wants to prepare food.
Well, everybody thinks they want to. You know, but then when it comes down to it,
everybody wants to tell restaurants.
Target does it now.
Restaurants.
Target does delivery. No way.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that.
Target. When Target starts delivering, you know the market's getting saturated. Walmart starts delivering to your house.
That's what's next.
I'm telling you,
it's gonna happen.
That's gonna happen.
Next thing you know, the dentist is gonna come to your house. It's all gonna go back to like it used to be. Where
a lot of grocery stores do.
You got a milkman, you got a grocery man, you got a
butcher.
A butcher come to your house.
You know, butcher shops are making a comeback in restaurants.
Yeah, we started using local butcher shops for. We just find that the quality of the meats are better.
Really?
Uh huh. And they're fresher. And if you pick a really busy butcher shop, you know you're pretty much your turnover of fresh meats is faster. So.
Target does it for $49 a year for delivery.
Wow.
Wow. You got to innovate.
Yep.
You have an app yet? Got a Casa Taco app yet?
I get calls all the time from people wanting to develop a Casa Taco app. I'm just not ready to take that plunge yet.
Not ready to jump in that yet?
No.
Not yet?
Yeah. Soon.
Soon.
We've got a lot of things to iron out here before we can really consider apps and... You know, we
some
really
things
want
to iron out here and then start looking for location number three.
That's right. We wanted to enable our, you know, like make our online menus where you can like click to order and then have it come right back into the kitchen, like just like an order where it says online instead of like now it's you can choose for here to go phone order.
Right.
But we would love to be able to develop a system where it can be an online order.
Online order?
Because that's how Dion's operates.
A lot of them do now.
Yeah, you can. And
online ordering is huge.
Dion's, Payway, there's a lot of places you can do the online order. It goes right into
curbside,
the kitchen.
Though. I think curbsides will be the next step here.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So getting the flow worked out.
Yeah.
You know?
Soon.
Boy, the guys can handle. The guys and the girls. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I got two of my line cooks came over from Academy today. Mm-hmm. Two girls that work together pretty commonly. And they're...
The badasses,
huh? Man, they're fast.
No shit.
They are fast. I haven't seen anything
Women
really...
Women rock in
yeah,
the kitchen.
Yeah, they do. They work so well together. It's great. I love seeing that.
I worked with some amazing female chefs.
And they're, like, I guess they're friends outside of work, too, so they... You know, it's like they can read each other's mind kind of thing.
You know, that's the thing. When you work with someone for a long time, you start, you know, you get like nonverbals, yeah. And you just kind of know, and you're like in sync.
Sure, it's
you know?
Hard to step into the middle of that.
It's hard to step into that, man. You want to talk about throwing them a curveball?
Yeah.
Do not, when people are in the flow, man, do not get in between those two. Yeah. Chef Kim. What did he say?
This is my neighbors from Mexico, and oh, I lost it.
Oh. Matthew says that women make the best line chefs I have found in my travels.
Interesting. Women. Yeah, we have a fair amount. I think we're not exactly 50-50, but...
You're like 60-40?
Yeah, 60-40.
You're like 60-40?
Yeah. No, it's great. I mean, I think, you know, it's all about balance, and, you know, you got to give everybody a shot. I hire.
This will start some controversy. Who do you think has more attention to detail, women or men in the kitchen?
I mean, my inclination is to say women. Mm-hmm. You know, because I mean, there's more of a nurturing instinct with women, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, because they're mothers.
The maternal
instinct. Not that guys are not fathers and don't have nurturing instincts. That's they true. Do, but you know, I think people most commonly attribute the nurturing quality to women. And so I think
Matthew says attitudes and egos from a lot of the men.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
And that's true.
You can get it from some women though too.
Uh-huh.
you've had a couple people work for you, a couple women work for you that intimidate me. And I'm not easily intimidated. You know?
Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, I think, I don't know, it seems like the love is there more.
The love is there?
Yeah.
I think, well, it's just anybody. I think no matter what, whatever.
Yeah, see, Kim says both.
You gotta have a real passion for it. We talk about that all the time. You gotta cook with love, right?
Yep.
That's food with love.
Third on our list is passion.
Passion is the third on your core values list. Yeah. We should probably move that to the top. What's the number one?
Integrity.
I think integrity is very important.
Yeah. Because it's how we operate, you know, and it's like when you operate that way, your expectation is that everybody you hire operates that way.
Your words and your actions have to be in congruency. Right. That's integrity.
All right,
my other definition of integrity is also, you know, when you have, when you're really in integrity and stuff like that, you actually, you know, you do it no matter, you do it right.
Yep.
No matter who's watching.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. You know. But knowing your core values has been a big thing. We worked on that a while ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. And then, you know, finally we opened up this place. It's like we really had to revisit that again.
Right, because the culture.
Because they went up and then, you know, I think our core group over at Academy kind of got the feel of where we were going with that whole concept. But
when you're expanding?
I think because we started the building of this one so quickly into that we lost track of, you know, keeping those core values at the top of our conversation.
Those are fundamentals. So, you got it.
We don't have enough meetings. We really, you know, kitchen meetings are, and really just staff meetings in general, like, super important if you're going to keep, you know, pushing.
You don't have to have big meetings every day. You have to have really, every day you just got to have talk to your team.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
And I wish we did more.
You believe in focused topics every week, every month in your restaurant. I believe in focused topics every day in my restaurant. Having one small topic. You don't need... I hate big meetings. I hate long, drawn-out, hour staff meetings. If you're every day attacking it and staying on top of it and on your soapbox preaching your core values, your expectations, your standards every day, you don't have to have a big monthly or a quarterly big employee team meeting. You stay on top of it every day.
Do you remember when we started doing the monthly meeting?
Yeah.
And we would stage it around like a really cool like homemade breakfast. So I would come in and make like...
You would come in and make stuff. I would come in and do some training.
Right, mango French toast. You would come in and do, like, you would take cashiers and do, like, you know, customer service.
Do some neuroselling, right.
And then we would take, like, kitchen staff and kind of talk about, you know, top priorities.
Right.
You know. And we just fell away from that. I'm sorry we let that go. We should do more.
We should
of that.
Get back to that. Yeah. The breakfast thing is fun. Was good bonding was good. Well, yeah. Bonding is good.
Well, you know, just me coming in and cooking was kind of fun too.
Yeah, my staff is only a staff of 4 cooks total. That's tight. But that's where everyday conversations, picking a topic. I always say I got to have my big topic for today. What's big thing I'm driving home today? Every day.
Yeah.
Core values, though. Core values, standards, and expectations are the biggest thing. If you ever say to your team, they should know, then you're not talking about expectations. You're not communicating enough.
Yeah.
Because
it's a reality check.
Yeah, it's a reality check. Well, they should know. They should just know.
I wish I never said that, but I say that.
You say it. That's why I'm beating you up right now. Don't ever say that.
So what do you think is going to happen? Is our online review sites, are they just going to keep going?
I think eventually they're going to self-implode. I think they're going to...
I think somebody's going to turn it into a... I mean, it's already a ridiculous money-making... advertising. Have you ever seen all the pop-ups and things that come up when you're doing?
I think it's got to reach a point of saturation. Online reviews have to reach a point of saturation, and then new upcoming ones are going to come and try to take other market share. So it's. I think eventually what they'll do is they'll actually. I think online review sites will actually have to pay people to be professional critics.
I think so. It's going to morph into something else.
You know, it's got to morph. It's got to morph. The way it's going right now, it's not going to work, because the way online review sites are going now, it's not sustainable.
I was
going
to say, it doesn't really seem sustainable, but
who
knows?
It's not sustainable. I mean, I heard a year ago or something like Yelp. Yeah, Yelp was in trouble.
Yeah, I thought Yelp was folding. But then, you know, Yelp turned around and bought this company called Turnstile. Now, Turnstile puts the little Wi-Fi things in your... It's like a... used to be called, and maybe it still is, in Wi-Fi terminology, there's like a landing zone for anybody that gets on your Wi-Fi called a walled garden. And so you can do a lot with that from a marketability standpoint. First of all, you can make them have to log in with their Facebook or their Google. Yeah, well, of course. I bought into that before Yelp bought Turnstile.
Okay.
So Turnstile came to me, and we had this, like, you know, I kind of gave them a hard time, because I'm like, I don't want any of that stuff, you know, because it just didn't seem like it was like bait and switch.
Yeah,
like,
there's another one, ZenReach. ZenReach does it, too.
They call me all the time, and
I know there's a place here in town, Flying Star.
Yeah.
You have to, like...
They do ZenReach?
No, well, they do something like that, log in and give me your email address to get access, and then
the data you collect
spammed to death. It's terrible.
And see, I don't do that. I don't use the data that way, but like we look at it for more of a repeat clientele.
Matthew wants to... Oh, Matthew says, I want to give my staff a copy of your book, Donald. I'm reading it now on the Kindle app. Thank you, Matthew. I do actually, you know, I don't know if you know, this is a hardcover book, but actually the paperback is now available on Amazon. Paperback version. Just came out 2 days ago.
Same size? Same number of pages?
Same. I didn't cut down. This is 266. I think actually it says the paperback is 270 something. I think there was like 2 extra blank pages in the back. I don't know why. But the paperback version is available too. Awesome. The cost is $14.99 for the paperback.
It's a good deal.
It's a good deal.
I bought 200, two.
You bought two. Nice. You better buy two now.
I bought 20.
You better buy 20. Buy 20 for your team. I know it's backwards. I don't know why the camera does it like this. I don't know. We don't know why.
Okay.
Online reviews.
Push the manifesto.
Put a manifesto. If you haven't been to my website, restaurantcoach.com, pick up my manifesto. I know it's backwards. I'm sorry. But you can go download this really cool manifesto. Do you have one?
Yeah. No.
I gotta give you one for your office.
Yeah.
So you can hang it out.
Huh? One for each store.
You need two. One
three,
for each store.
Actually.
Oh, you need one for... You need three. All right. How can I get a signed one? Kim, you're going to have to either come to one of my speaking gigs, because the hardcover books are available for clients and also for speaking gigs. So people who book me for speaking gigs usually buy hardcover books to give out to people who attend the speaking gigs.
Well, she could buy one, send it to you, have her sign it, and they can send it back.
Well, you can't buy a hardcover book.
Oh.
You can buy a paperback. But we'll talk, Kim. Message me and we'll talk about it. But I will be speaking, if you're in Europe, in the, this month actually. God, it's already February.
I know it.
I will be in Madrid February 18th to like the 23rd. I'll be in Madrid speaking at Hospitality Innovation Planet. It's one of the largest, big, kind of big, huge hospitality conventions in Spain. It's like 15,000-20,000 people show up, and they have like six stages. It's going to be pretty cool. It's I think it's expohip.com.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, expohip.com. It's all over my Facebook page. And then first, beginning of March, I will be speaking in New York at the International Restaurant Show of New York. I'm speaking actually 2 days now. I was speaking only one, but I'm speaking on Sunday in, I think it's March 2nd, 3rd. Mm. What's the date? Speaking.
I need to get out more.
You need to get out more, man. You don't get out much.
No.
You don't get out much, man.
Don't get out much. I don't watch TV.
You've been like here. Oh, March 4th, I'll be speaking at the International Restaurant Show of New York, and then also Tuesday, March 6th, I'll be speaking there as well. Sunday, I'll be talking about marketing, and Tuesday, I'll be talking about culture, how to get a better culture, how to cultivate a culture for your restaurant. And then I'll be speaking at the end of March in Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. You should come to that one.
Yeah, that one I can make.
That one's a good one. Yeah. That's going to be the nightclub and bar expo. I'll be speaking on Monday.
I want to bring George to that one.
Oh, that'd be a good one. So, nightclub and bar expo. I'll be speaking on March 26th at the nightclub and bar show in Viva Las Vegas.
We got to get George out here one of these days.
We got to get George out here.
I should make my
phone. George won't come out here.
No, he will.
No, he won't.
I could ask him.
We want to say thanks for everybody for watching in. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for commenting. We love it. We really appreciate everyone showing up. If you are in Albuquerque, please stop by Casa Taco. I'm honestly incredible tacos. My favorite, the carne asada, right?
Thanks, brother.
Yeah. Carne asada. What's that new one I have to try?
Taco Bombero.
The Bombero. Tell them about that one real quick.
So we talked a little bit about it last
time. A little bit last time, but for people who maybe didn't see it last time.
Roasted, sliced serrano chili peppers, choice of flank steak or grilled chicken, peppers and onions. Mm. Only taco we do in a flour tortilla. On a heat scale of 1 to 10, it's probably like a 9.
I'm not really much for spicy food.
Oh, yeah.
You like spicy food, do you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not much of a spicy food guy.
I don't like it, you know, from a pain, you know, how much pain can
pain?
I take, like, you know.
Well, you're kind of a masochist, dude. I hate to tell you that.
You know, I don't know.
I've known you for quite a few years.
If it makes the tops of your ears tingle, it's just hot enough. It's
yeah, you're a little extreme for me, my friend.
That's great.
Thanks for everyone for tuning in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.donaldburns.net or download episodes at iTunes and Stitcher Radio.